This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, I'm Katie Piper, and welcome to my podcast, Katie Piper's Extraordinary People. Each episode, I'll meet an amazing person with an incredible story, who faced adversity and came through the other side to inspire others. Welcome to this episode of Katie Piper's Extraordinary People. And as I always promise, I am joined by a very extraordinary guest, somebody I grew up watching, admiring, and somebody who in recent times I've turned to, sounds a bit creepy, but almost like a friend without really being friends, through reading her books, listening to her podcasts and all the content that she's putting out at the moment. So a lot of you might have guessed who it is. It's the lovely Fern Cotton.
Oh my God, thank you. I feel like ridiculous fraud because I think it's quite the opposite way around. Like, you're someone that I always just feel, like, beyond inspired by. Inspired, like, doesn't cover it.
Aww.
So it's, you know, amazing people like yourself that I get to, I think, ruminate on all this work that I do and think about it on a deeper level, because otherwise it's pointless, it just being my story and my thing. So, you know,
I always think you don't make it about you. Like, whenever I'm listening to your podcast, I will always end up with the headphones in again, like you were saying, talking and being like, I experienced this. So it's nice to connect without connecting. It's very time efficient.
Yeah, well, That's the beauty of podcasts, isn't it? They are the best.
I wanted to do some quick fire questions with you to get to know you a bit better. So my first one is, talk me through what an average day is for you.
There kind of isn't one. I mean, there's always a lot of variables. There are some stuff that's more set in stone because, like yourself, I've got young kids.
Yeah.
So guarantee I'll be woken up before I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there's about 5 complaints before 6:30
yeah.
of some nature. You know, they've got the wrong cup, you know, all
how
the
old
usual
are they
stuff.
Now?
6 and 3.
Oh, that's tough. Okay.
Yeah. And they're arguing and fighting. So these are all, you know, these things are a dead cert. They're always going to happen every morning. And even this morning I said to them, guys, like, just be, look at the sun shining, like, be great. Like, just look outside of what you're talking about. And I know they're thinking, what are, like, you on about?
Wild,
but I was like, I've got to stop this.
Yeah.
But then the other things that I guess I always want to happen is I would like to always do a bit of exercise.
Yeah, me too.
If there's the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would always like to have a bit of time to pot around the house because mm-hmm. I like to clean, and I'm like a little rodent who likes to keep their place all in order.
Do you get satisfaction from that?
Yeah, beyond. I love it.
Yeah.
But then, because my work is so varied now,
mm-hmm.
it could kind of be anything. So today we're doing this, and I've got a little brainstorm session after this, and then I've got one meeting in town. But then tomorrow I've got the whole morning free, so I'll just be with kids or take Rex to school, be with Honey before nursery. So it's kind of, I just try and constantly get a bit of a balance of work that I love and being at home and being a wife and a mum and a mate and all that stuff.
I always think that's quite nice when you're a mum. You get that sort of consistency.
Mm.
You know, even if work is completely different and crazy busy and then quiet, you've always got that backbone, haven't you?
Oh, always. Like, there's, I think I've told this story before on a podcast or something, but like you say, I remember interviewing Coldplay, I don't know how many years ago, 5 years ago, when Rex was tiny. And I was on a bit of a high. We'd done this like really lovely documentary and I'd been with them, interviewing them all day. And then I got back and I was still flying high a bit. And then Rex was holding onto the side of the bath and just curled out a massive poo on the floor. And I was like,
reality check.
Yeah. There's the consistency right there, because you can do whatever it is, good or bad.
Yeah.
You come back and it's the same thing at home, and it's really a good, grounding, healthy place to be at.
Yeah, it's great to be treated for who you are and to have people that are real with you.
He's like, I don't care that you went for you, Coldplay. Have a look at that. Do you know what I mean?
Nice little shit. Yes. In more ways than
we've
one.
We've all been there.
Yeah, we have. I've actually had it where they've done a poo in the bath. They've been there together and I didn't notice.
And then you've got to fish it out.
And my eldest is like, Mum, look at all the bath bomb. I'm like, it's not a bath bomb.
No.
We need to evacuate. Yeah.
And how do you eat? And then you use your hand. Like, there's so many problems. Yeah. How old are your kids now?
So my eldest is 5 and then my youngest is 16 months.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like low standards.
We're both in the thick of it.
I'm picking it out with fingers and everything.
Yeah. It's fine. You've got to.
So with your routine, what is the one thing that is non-negotiable in that daily routine?
I'll be honest with you, this is the only thing, because, you know, obviously with kids and work, loads of stuff has to just be thrown out the window at a moment's notice. The one thing is, I have to have, on awakening, a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
There's not been a day since I was 18 that hasn't happened.
And do you limit to one cup? Or
yes. Yeah, it's okay. One cup, and then I would go on herbal tea, because otherwise I'd be a lunatic.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing anything until I've had that cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. So people could be running around me, talking whatever. You better watch your back, because I'm not doing anything until I've had that cup of coffee.
And are you real coffee or instant?
I have an organic instant. If I went real, I'd be shaking and going crazy and having panic attacks and all sorts. So it's a really nice cup of organic instant coffee with a little dash of oat milk.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I'm great.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to work. I'm not doing anything until that happens. And as I said, I haven't missed a day of that routine ever.
Because I'm fuming if, say, my husband tries to talk to you about, like, serious things.
Yeah.
Like, I need to have a black coffee, no milk, instant.
Yeah.
And just, like, neck it.
Yeah. And that's your ritual. That's your time.
Yeah.
That's your thing. No one's getting in the way of that. And I think it's important, no matter how busy you are, if you've got kids, whatever, you have that thing that is yours. Mm.
It's nice, protected feeling.
Yes.
Yeah. No,
mine.
I love that. So you talk, I know on Instagram you share like a lot of exercise routines, and I love how you actually share. You don't really have to spend any money. Like, you can just go out running, you can do it in the house.
Don't spend any.
Yeah, that's quite good. And also you can do it privately. You don't have to be like intimidated in a big gym or anything.
No,
like
I think
that.
It puts people off, you know, going to a class, a gym, especially if it's something like yoga, which I love.
Yeah.
If you feel like, I've never done it, I'm nervous to put myself in that space where people are going to be varying levels. And obviously yoga's not about competitiveness. It's just not. But it's scary. So I'd do it right there. That's my spot.
That's nice. And then you can do it in your pants. You don't even have to brush your hair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, money's not stopping you. Lifestyle's not stopping you. Unless you've got, obviously, physical injury and you can't do it. But if it's just like
you can adapt, you go.
Yeah.
And then it's in the bank, isn't it?
It's
like
in the
you've
bank.
Done it, you've got the whole day to be productive.
And it just sets you up. Like this morning I was really conscious of, like, we had some bad news recently that one of Jesse's family members passed away, and it really, obviously, like, all loss rocks you and makes you reassess everything in your world. And, you know, just look at that fragility of life that we so often will just, you know, push to the side, or we, you know, concentrate on all the minutiae of life and we're not looking at the bigger picture, which you're obviously amazing at. But I went out and I just looked at the trees and I listened to the birds.
Which is so hard to do in such a busy, you know, you don't take stock to do those things. Or you do it when it's too late. I do think becoming a mum makes you think more about, it's a bit depressing, but a bit more about mortality.
Completely.
And the vulnerability and, you know, how we, like, I like to be in control, which isn't necessarily a good trait.
Same.
But you aren't necessarily ever really in control. You know, it's kind of a facade you sort of sell yourself.
Well, that's why we give ourselves all these little safety things that we think, if I do this every day, or like my morning coffee, or if I'm always really striving in this area, we think that we're in some sort of linear path to somewhere, or there's control. But of course, like, you know, life oscillates between all the, you know, good and bad and hard and easy and whatever. And it has to, like, you know, like you say, we're not really in control of any of it. We have to just learn to roll with what happens and, you know, do our best, really.
I actually think the bravest people are those that can surrender the control.
No, I completely agree with you. I think, you know, they are the most courageous people that can surrender to stuff and just go, you know, and although you see yourself as someone that's got to always be in control,
you're surely control free.
Yeah, but look how much adapting you've done in life. Yeah. Like an unreal amount.
But I think it's so, you know, when people say things like inspirational, like in some ways, like it comes from a good place. It can be a condescending and patronizing. But also I think actually courage and bravery only comes from vulnerability.
Yeah.
Because you can't really practice those qualities without that, you know.
If you're going to be courageous, brave, creative, you have to experience vulnerability. Mm-hmm. There's no other, you can't have that bit without the vulnerability. And we sort of forget that. Mm. And that is a complete lack of control. Do you know what I mean? You're just going, let's see what happens and go with it.
What thing in your daily outline do you have to drop when you're really, really busy? And how do you cope with the frustration of having had to drop it that day? Because for me, I hate that. You know, if I map out like, right, I'm going to do this, this and this, or this is a long-term goal or plan. And if one thing I have to lose out or it doesn't work out, sometimes I can get really anxious or cross or even furious, you know?
So I certainly have it with work. If I feel I'd set out with quite a clear idea and I want to manifest it, I will struggle with being malleable, I guess, sometimes. But then actually, through experience, some of the things that have gone disastrously wrong or some of the things that I've let go of have led me to absolute amazingness.
Yeah.
So I'm getting much better at that one because I've seeing all this random, I didn't think all this good stuff was going to happen in my career and I was going to have a whole new career at the age of whenever it was, 30, 31. I had no idea about any of that. So I'm getting better at that. But I think actually the thing I struggle with the most is if I'd looked at a week, because obviously my diary is really all over the shop and I don't have that routine like yourself. Mm. If I've thought, right, those 3 days, I'm just going to be in mum mode and be with the kids, do the school run, really simple stuff, cooking dinner and all that jazz. And then something comes up that has to go in the diary. I really struggle letting go of that time.
Yeah.
Even if it's an absolute necessity, well, nothing is really, but you know, even if it's heavily advised or encouraged that this happens so that this happens the week after, I really get anxious about that.
It'd be quite suffocating.
Yeah. I guilt myself out. I give myself a hard time. You know, I'm a shit mom, blah, blah, blah. I just label myself with negativity. Mm-hmm. And I'm nowhere near getting to grips with that one yet. And a lot of my mates who are in the same boat as me feel exactly the same with that. You know, and even if they're not working or they could be working full time, I think everyone experiences that on a level.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really bad in that. So, because obviously most of my work would be more central London and I live slightly further out. So I'm using cabs to get home. So sometimes 2-3 hours in a cab.
Oh God.
So there could be times when I don't see my kids for 3 days in a row, which to somebody who does a 9-to-5 job, they might think I'm a really bad mum. I'm in the house, but I leave before they wake. I come home when they're in bed and it's just the way my job is.
Yeah.
And I feel crap. I don't enjoy that, but it's part of my life. And I know I choose to do my job. Then other times I won't have work for like 3-4 weeks. I'll be with the kids every day.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, shit, I'm unemployed.
Funny how you get what you're striving from, then you
exactly.
go, oh my God, my career's falling apart. Yeah. I have exactly that feeling.
And it's so ridiculous. Yeah. And I know it. And it's like, you know, I feel like, well, I can't tell any of the parents that go to the school that I don't see them for 3 days because they'll probably ring social services. And then I can't tell all the power women I work with that I haven't had a job for 2 weeks because they'll probably start ringing me.
I know.
I think, I suppose with you and what you're doing with your platform is it's the authenticity that everyone can relate to. And, you know, we all look back and think we tried to hold on to so many things. And then when we do have a loss or the end of an era, you know, actually it isn't our darkest moment. It might have been at the time, but I think then in hindsight, when you go on to educate yourself and learn from other people, you realize this is just growth, you know,
it's actually
for everyone.
Possibly in the end, the most important bit,
or,
you know, as hard as any trauma or difficult situation is, actually, later down the line, if you're willing to dig around a bit and look at life and try new things and explore, then it can be, like you say, it's growth. It's like the start of something completely new. And my whole career now is luckily all about that. And I feel so lucky. I'm talking every day about stuff I give a shit about.
Yeah, how nice.
Very little of it is not stuff that I don't care about. Yeah, I really, really care about it. And, you know, I've realised 22 years later after starting this job, what's the point of having any sort of platform if I'm not connecting with people properly?
But I do also, if I'm really honest, and I feel like I can be honest on podcasts, I probably wouldn't say it in like a print media sat down interview, but I do also find the connection draining.
Yeah.
So for me, for example, I would often connect with people with similar stories to me. So in a day, I could have like, I don't know, 40 DMs about people that have been sexually abused. Mm. So in the end, I had to turn off the DM feature, which sounds selfish, but you know,
I don't think it does.
I want those people to go direct to a charity that is manned 24 hours. I want them to use 101 999. I used to be quite yesy and let them talk and take it all on. And then it used to make me feel quite burdened and depressed.
Which is pointless. You know? What's the point of that?
Yeah, because I've got nothing left to give. No. You know, I'm just like sad.
No,
you know?
You've got, like, it's everyone has to bear that in mind. I think, you know, doctors, nurses, psychotherapists, anyone that's working with people, energy and stories. But I, again, am very yesy.
Yeah.
And I want to make a positive impact and help people. But I have definitely previously let that happen to my detriment. But it's, you know, it's true. If we're burnt out, knackered, trying to please everyone, but we're suffering inside or we're feeling like we're falling apart, none of it works.
Yeah.
You're not giving anyone anything then.
It's all in vain, isn't it?
It's all in vain. And especially to the people that you are really close to, your immediate family, they're probably going to get it because, you know, they love you. So you're probably going to be a bit ratty with them or whatever.
That's basically my husband. I'm like, well, I'm kind to everyone and just neglect him. And he's so good about it. He just soldiers on.
Yeah, I mean, this is so often the case with so many people that your other half, and I think my husband would say the same about our dynamic, we'll both do it to each other because you know that it's a solid love and you can kind of push it a bit and prod it. And I think it's all about each day waking up and going, what am I capable of today? And it'll be, some days it'll be amazing things, other days it won't, and that's no bad thing.
And what about when you get really lazy journalism? So like people that draw just one line, they take it out of context and then they, you know, syndicate and print an article. And I've had it done to me. And sometimes it's quite damaging because I could be talking about somebody else or somebody at my charity or my like a throwaway joke in about my husband that's literally dry humour. And you think, if you're going to do that to people, you're going to cut off the willingness to actually be transparent and share. And that's really sad because...
It is. It is. And I've also been on the receiving end of it so many times. Sometimes to really tragic levels for me where I've really not felt able to cope with it.
Yeah.
Because I've, you know, over the years been through all sorts of shit in the press and in my personal life or whatever. And I'm not the sort of person that likes to sell stories or sit and talk about stuff if I don't really have to. The stuff I'm willing to share, I'll write in books and I'll talk about in podcasts.
But they even try and lift books out of context then, don't they?
I had one recently, which, to be honest, wasn't traumatic in any way. But I just thought, I'm not having that. And I write a column for Red Magazine.
Okay.
And it's a very honest column because otherwise, what's the point? If I'm going to do a column, I'm going to write about real things that I'm not just fluffy column. And I'd written about marriage and that it obviously takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
No exception to that rule. Yeah. There's no like fairy tale wedding where everything is just amazing and no effort is involved. Every marriage, although that love is absolutely solid, it takes work. And I've got two kids and two stepkids. We've got weird jobs that mean we have to keep moving and talking about everything. There's going to be friction.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. We all think differently and we're all trying our best.
Yeah.
And I wrote a very honest article about a huge row we'd had in the park. And
so normal. It's always the park.
So in the park, because you think no one can hear them. There's a dog walker going, oh, shit, sort of scurrying into a bush. And we were having that and then we both had a bit of a cry and this like lovely moment.
That's quite a nice release.
Better.
Yeah, that's lovely.
It was great. And it was a positive article about saying, you know, we can have these moments, but actually they can make you so much closer, obviously, and
you are
stronger.
Because you care and you're invested.
Yes, you know, otherwise I'll just walk away and go, oh, I don't want to be married anymore.
Yeah.
But I desperately do.
Yeah.
So then obviously there's lines coming out, Fern fighting for her marriage, blah, blah, blah. And okay,
so unfair.
I could give a shit what someone's writing about me, but if my stepkids, who are 13 and 17, could walk into our newsagent there and see a paper with that in there, and we haven't said to them, hi guys, we're we're having trouble in our marriage, which we're not. We're just having an argument. That's horrendous. You know, they don't need that. Or, you know, my kids, my little kids at school, a teacher could have read something in the paper and then they might say something like, you know, I'm not having that for my children.
Yeah, you need to protect them.
So I spoke out about that one and thought and said it was on Instagram, how just lazy and ridiculous it was. And
but that's so great now. You have your own verified, authentic platform where people can just go straight to there and see what's a load of rubbish.
Well, I think everyone these days, due to social media and podcasts, is actually looking at how we're fed the news all round and how, of course, for some reason, as humans, we want to only see the bad stuff. You know, you never turn on the news and obviously it's like an amazing story. That doesn't happen. There might be one a year that you go, oh, heartwarming. Yeah. But usually it's awful, awful shit on rolling news all day long.
I deleted the news apps on my phone.
I can't look.
Yeah.
I can't
look. If I keep reading this, I'm never going to travel.
No.
I'm never going to do anything. No. I'm never going to have any faith. Like, this is just so
bad. Exactly, because we're programmed to feel that there's more bad than good in the world. And that's not true. There has to be this sort of harmonious balance of 50-50 with everything in the world.
In 2007... TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So on to good stuff, food. Because you always post really wicked recipes you do with your kids. And obviously you've got some brilliant cookbooks. I've got the baking cookbook.
Which I'm doing a new one now, so I'll send it you when it's finished.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Should be doing that today at some point.
We're distracting you. So what one food could you not live without and why?
I mean, it's a really obvious one, but it's chocolate.
Yeah, okay.
Again, I probably eat it every day, like a very dark, organic, good quality chocolate. I don't want any old rubbish.
Yeah, so you don't want the crash.
No, I want a real dark, dark chocolate, like 90%. Mm-hmm. Like almost like it's like eating coffee. It's so strong.
But it's nice and bitter and it perks you up, doesn't it?
I love it. I love it so much. And I only have it in small little snap here, little snap there. Yeah. But I could not give that up. Everything else, I'm pretty like versatile and I'll try new things, whatever. But the chocolate thing, even if I like go away somewhere, I'll pack a little block in case there's none.
I love that. There. You arrive as supplies. That's very good.
I have to.
That's quite mummish.
It's very mummish. There's always several Tupperwares of some sort. Well, my own coffee in a Tupperware.
Yeah.
Then there's one that's got my own tea bags in. Then there's probably one that's got a few little nuts and seeds.
This is very geeky.
So geeky. Our Tupperware drawer is the biggest drawer in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Says a lot about us as a family.
Well, I like the control and organisation.
There you go.
There you go.
It's the control.
So this is like a big, loaded $1 million question, but it's the age old question of what would you say to your younger self? But you are still young, but...
Well, edging towards 40 quite quickly. I know this one because I think about it all the time. Mm. And because I had a weird career that started young, it's really visible, like the mistakes I made. Not that anyone else would see them, but that I can see.
Mm.
And it all goes back to being authentic, authenticity and feeling okay being you.
Because this is an industry that sometimes gives you messaging that that's not okay.
I think always does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, for people that aren't in the public eye, that everyone's feeling it. You know, it's a bizarre time. And when I was growing up, I never felt that I could just be me. That was
boring. And you
never
got the feedback because you didn't have social.
No, I didn't have anything. Like, I had zero feedback.
Yeah.
But I just felt like, God, people won't hire me or like me just for being me. I'm just some boring kid from the suburbs who has, you know, no connection to this world at all, nothing interesting to say. I just felt not enough.
Yeah.
So I constantly felt the need to like over-egg things or be a bit more than I naturally was or give a bit too much or just, I could always see myself, if I watch any old footage of myself, which is excruciating.
Oh, I hate watching anything.
I can't. Yeah. I literally, my mum, I think it was at Christmas, was like, hey, Jess, look at this thing of Fern on Disney Club. And I was looking at her like, you
so proud,
fucking dare press play and I am running from this house. I can't. But I can just see how I didn't feel enough because I felt the need to like give and...
But that would have been the messaging coming to you. I know. It's not your fault. It's the environment.
I know. It was, I guess. And I was young and, you know, we all go through that. I just had it sort of very publicly and in a pressurised environment because I was working so much at that age. I did so many kids shows and...
Which isn't normal. Yeah, that's insane. It's not normal.
And I did it for years. I think only really... I guess since I wrote Happy, have I felt like I'm still in the public eye, but I'm being me. I don't give a shit if I don't look a certain way anymore, if my hair's not brushed, if I'm not saying the right things, if I'm not posting things that people are going to like of me in sexy underwear or whatever. I'm just doing me. Yeah. And that's all I can do these days. And it might be seen as sort of slightly less exciting or whatever. But for me, I am the most content in that space because I'm just being me. No one's going to trip me up because I'm going to tell you the truth, whatever you ask me.
And that's why it feels quite like stable because actually there's nothing to catch
there's nothing
you
to
out
hide.
On.
I've told you it all. I've said it in the books. Yeah. Anything I don't want to say is not because it's a dark, awful secret. It's because I'm still working through stuff like everyone that I'm not happy with yet or I haven't made peace with.
But privacy and boundaries are also important, aren't
Massively.
They? There's not to say that you should just actually lay everything out on the table to everyone.
Well, this is it. And that's the thing about, that's the double-edged sword, I guess, of social media. Like, it is connective and it's amazing. But for anyone in the public eye or not, because we're sharing, people get confused and they think, oh, well, I can know everything and I can ask you everything and I can bombard you with all of this sort of stuff. And it's like, wait, I can still control what I want to tell you. Like if I was in a conversation with you and you asked me a question, I would make an informed decision in my head. Yes, I'm going to tell you, or I'm going to politely say, actually, I don't really want to talk about that. You know? And I think social media has confused people in that way.
What's your social like? Is it like, what's your kind of relationship like with your social media?
I guess complicated, like most people, if I'm honest.
It's like a boy. It's just up and down. It's
it really is. So, I've never heard that sort of analogy, but it so is. It's really, it's a tricky one because on good days where I just feel really present and really grateful just to be here right now with, with nothing attached to that, I don't feel the need to really look at it much. I'll post things that I believe are hopefully connective or going to be positive for someone to look at. It doesn't have to be a big important moment, but just something positive. But then I guess on days where I've got a situation going on or there's something that I'm finding stressful or I've had insomnia and I haven't slept, I will look at it without even knowing I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden I'm on there and I'm like, oh, how long have I been looking? What have I looked at?
Yeah.
What's gone in? What have I digested? And I almost freak out halfway through. I go into this trance and it's like, we all do it. Or I might post something that I think I posted that for the wrong reason.
Right,
I didn't post that because I wanted connection or I wanted to make other people feel a certain way. I've posted it because I'm feeling insecure and I believe that other people will value me more if I post it.
But it's a form of expression and it's just an instant one. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it says so much. Although in a weird way, it doesn't. In a sort of paradoxical way, you're seeing a tiny element of someone's sort of day. It's not really anything about them, but really like the emotion behind it and why they've posted it says more than what the picture actually is, I think, a lot of the time.
It can be so loaded, can't it? And
Massively.
So dangerous because it's so, you know, normally you might pick up the phone and bitch and then kind of regret it a bit, but actually that was private, you know? So if you then kind of act in a way that actually was quite reactive, then it doesn't really represent you.
It's, no.
Because sometimes my husband's like, you were really happy about an hour ago. Now you're livid. What's
my
wrong?
My husband says this to me.
Nothing's wrong.
This is exactly me. I had this the other day where I can't remember, some guy had said something derogatory about me. I know intellectually it doesn't matter. And that he's not going to like change my life with his thought process. And actually his thought says more about him than me. I know all of that.
Yeah.
But I go through the motions of, oh, I feel really angry. And then I went into the toilet because my husband said to me, like your husband, what's wrong with you? You were absolutely fine when you were making coffee 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And like you, no, nothing, nothing. And then, oh, Gary from Brighton said this about me.
Yeah.
And then I took myself in the toilet. And this is not to be advised, but I had a chat with this guy whose name I can't remember.
Oh my God, he was just
sat in front of me. But I just thought, I'm going to let it out and see what happens. And
that's
I was just
quite
like,
nice
you
release.
Think this about me? You haven't got a fucking clue. I was telling someone out of EastEnders.
Yeah.
I went for
Danny
him.
Dyer.
I was so Danny Dyer. I totally went for this guy. And then I sort of was like, that was a bit weird. But,
but
anyway, I've let it out.
That,
and I walked
yeah.
out and I sort of laughed about it. And it became sort of quite comical, the whole thing. And then I walked away and I was fine again. Whereas, I'm not joking, before, when I was on Radio 1... And it's before Instagram, but Twitter was, you know, huge.
And Twitter's so ranty.
I had like, so many people, because I was on radio every day,
yeah.
speaking freely. I'm not saying things that I want to hurt people. That's not my bag.
Yeah.
But I may have said things in the past or I tripped over a word, God forbid,
yeah.
that I stutter. You know, stuff like that. People go at you because they're yeah. angry about their life.
Yeah.
And I would be affected by it for days.
Because it's so much
useless.
Anger.
Yeah. yeah. And I would conflate their opinions with my own and, oh my God, I would let it rule me.
Do you think that Twitterati kind of experience, do you think it made you like tougher or do you think it sort of opened up your eyes to like some of the sadness in the world?
Yeah, not option one. I don't think I'm tough at all. I think I'm far too sensitive to do the job that I do. Mm. I'm not built for it. And I know people
Is
that
anyone,
are.
Though?
I know people that I think are. I mean, again, I'm making huge assumptions. They might not be behind closed
yeah,
doors.
Yeah.
But they seemingly water off a duck's back. I've never been like that. I'm highly sensitive and I deal in emotion, so I can't ignore it. But I guess, like you say, it's made me very aware of how much other people feel they're struggling and they feel trapped in it. And that's a terrible, terrible shame. And I think actually that's where I can really dig into that empathy and go, God, I actually really hope this person's all right. You know, I have to be accepting of that's just how I'm built. And it's been the same since I was a kid. I've just always really felt things massively, like hugely.
Yeah.
And that can be beautiful and like an amazing euphoric experience, but it can also be really painful.
Yeah.
And, you know, damaging, but it's learning to sort of live with that, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's what makes you so creative because you are sort of open and in touch with things. That's how you can have
I
that
love
flow.
Love being creative.
Yeah. No, it's a real
it's
strength.
The best.
Yeah. So I've got one final question to ask you and I have to credit who I stole it from. This is because in might listen and be like, So this is how...
Sounds familiar.
When I went on Paul McKenna's podcast, this is how he ends every podcast. And I thought this is quite a cool one. So the question is, what should I have asked you that I haven't?
That is a great question, Paul McKenna.
So Gok Won, and he did it, and he actually said, you should have asked for my number.
Oh, classic Gok. I mean, Gok's a great friend of mine, and that does not surprise me. I guess it's something around, you know, who I feel I am. Because everyone puts an identity on me. And I guess it's what I think I am is the intriguing bit because I think it's so different to what people assume. And I always feel that I am a massive introvert, massively. I'm never happier than on my own in the house.
I love being on my own.
And I guess I always feel... quite small in this world and I don't feel like this person that's in the public eye at all. I don't attach myself to any of that. I always feel like a bit of an outsider in all of that, like a bit of a weirdo in all of that whole, I never fit into a TV clique or a gang or
but
I just
maybe you
don't
have a comparison because actually like you said you've always been that. So
yeah.
It's not like you could compare another experience.
No, I just have always felt a bit on the edge of it and the comparison between what people assume I am and who I feel I am. Even who knows if I'm wrong? Who knows what I'm about? I'm still learning, but I feel that's the bit that I'm more desperate for people to sort of understand.
Yeah, and it's nice that you're taking people on that journey as well and being honest about that.
Yeah.
So for everyone listening, because I think this will go out before your festival you're working on.
Oh, good.
So if everyone wants to get more of this and be part of it, can you tell them a bit about the festival?
Yes, and you're going to be there, which I'm so grateful for.
Oh, no, thanks
oh,
for asking
God,
me.
Dream
I feel really
guest.
Privileged.
So I'm doing a special live series of the podcast at the festival. There'll be 8 episodes recorded there.
Wow.
All incredible people like you. And
no pressure.
It's going to be great. And it's basically, I want everything I've been talking about to be brought to life. So that it's 2 beautiful venues, Chiswick House and Tatton Park.
Oh, lovely.
Really gorgeous. And there's going to be beautiful designated areas. It's going to be a big community stage where you can go and do yoga whenever you want all day long or other sort of more chilled classes.
Yeah.
There's going to be the talks tent, which is where you'll be. So there's going to be the 8 live episodes, but also talks all day from the most fascinating people on all manner of subjects. There's going to be some on family estrangement. There's going to be some on health. There's going to be some on courage, diversity, like all different subjects covered. Then there's going to be other smaller tents that have workshops like art and craft workshops, mindfulness, meditation, more other smaller yoga classes, sound therapy, breathing workshops, like any interesting explorative experience. Hopefully I will have their little shopping area with very small brands that I want to champion and that I love, people making stuff.
It sounds like bliss and
it's
such good vibes.
And great food, obviously. Yeah, that's a given.
And you would have to be if it was you.
It's going to be great food. So I want people to come away going, holy shit, like I heard this person talking and then I did this workshop and I've just feel like I've changed, there's been a shift.
Make that impact.
I want people to go away like they've actually spent the 35 quid and it's been really an amazing.
Which is very cheap, actually, for
it's
all that.
Good price. It's quite a good price.
Yeah.
So I really want people to feel they've got something from it rather than it was a nice day out.
Yeah.
So tickets are available. You can go on my Instagram and click on the link there. I'm pretty sure our website is happyplacefestival.com.
And guys, I'll put a link on my story when I put this episode up.
That'd be
so can
lovely.
Click through on my story.
Thank you. And I'm going to be there.
I know, this is really exciting. I better plan my outfit now.
The most important part.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me in your home and being as honest and authentic as ever and talking to me. It's been a really nice afternoon.
Thank you so much, Katie. I'm so honoured to be part of your series.
Thanks for listening to Katie Piper's Extraordinary People. If you haven't already, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, please help us spread the word. Rate and review the show where you got this, or share on socials.